I haven't checked it yet, but Matt says that the $2.5 million that Kevin Steele is getting now would make him tied 57th with Mike Locksley for the highest paid Division I coach. I'll double check that as we talk to Tom Luganville. Bring him in right here. Brought to you by our friends at Craneworks.
Lift it, load it, grade it, grind it, move it, haul it, rig it, dig it. Craneworks, Craneworks, yeah. The big dog's got it.
ESPN's Tom Luganville on the Roundtable is brought to you by Craneworks. Lift it, buy it, rent it. The big dog's got it. And now, Tom Luganville.
He joins us each week on the Bud Light Seltzer Hotline. What's up, Lugs? How are you?
Good morning, everybody. How are you guys doing?
Doing great, man. Thanks. You heard the story there. Chris Lowe, ESPN, reporting that the deal for Kevin Steele, $2.5 million per year, which would make him the highest paid defensive coordinator. And Jim has confirmed that that ties him with Mike Locksley, would be 57th among Division I head coaches. Other than just get really good players, which obviously Auburn has, what does Kevin Steele do that makes him this good?
Well, two things. I think, number one, they tackle really, really well, and there's an emphasis on limiting explosive plays. Those are the two most difficult things to do in college football right now, and they have found a way to be able to do that by having really good players, as you referenced, and then practicing on the fundamentals. Now, at the same time, when I look at Kevin Steele and I see this number and I see this extension, all I do is look at the LSU game and say, all right, we'll just give them the extension off of that, because they're the only ones that even came close.
Yeah. Speaking of LSU, I'm looking at the way too early top 25, and ESPN right now has LSU at number 4. How is that even possible when you look at all the defections, including that coaching staff?
Good question. I don't know. I think it's people wanting to carry over the euphoria and becoming a prisoner of the moment and, you know, realizing that they do have some pieces of the puzzle coming back. Obviously, Derek Stingley is a big one. A couple of the wideouts are a big one. I'm really concerned about up front in the offensive line and then obviously the inexperience at quarterback. But I think we can all acknowledge that they do have talented players. I just don't know if you can duplicate the magic of this year. And I think people are just carrying that over because they're, again, a prisoner of the moment. But I do think they're going to be a talented football team. I do think they're going to be a team that will be difficult to defend, because you're not going to see a difference in approach offensively now just because Joe Brady's no longer there.
How big is it them also losing George Munoz, who was the offensive analyst who sort of helped Joe Brady do what Joe Brady does and had a great relationship with Burrow himself? According to reports from other people like Bruce Feldman, he's joining the Baylor staff. That's another huge loss for that LSU staff.
Well, this is unbelievable, guys. You're not going to believe this. I just got done sending a direct message to him. So George Munoz and I go back to 1992-93. Were rival quarterbacks at the junior college level. It was me, Munoz, and Steve Sarkisian. All three of us were all in the league together, playing against each other for 2 years. And I tell you what, he's a really fine young football coach, has been a full-time guy at some of the lower-level divisions, came to LSU to try and get a jump start and move up a little bit, served his time as an offensive analyst, really bright guy, doesn't surprise me one bit that Dave Aranda decided to make that move. And then now, obviously, you bring a philosophical identity and an approach that, if you're Dave Aranda, you're very familiar with, and you love the results that you saw last fall.
Tom Luganville, courtesy of our friends at Craneworks on the Bud Light Seltzer Hotline. Don't know if you guys noticed what Luganville did there. He aged himself with Munoz and then referred to him as a great young coach.
Oh, yeah.
That's very well played there.
Sounds
very
like,
well played.
Sounds like a guy with Spider-Man socks on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's Deadpool. Excuse me, Jim.
Deadpool. I apologize.
Deadpool.
Good Lord.
Give me what Dave Aranda does that can keep this going at Baylor. I mean, these are two tough acts to follow. Art Briles was really successful, and then Matt Rhule did one of the greatest rebuilds we've ever seen.
I think you don't reinvent the wheel, and you do what he's always done, and that's apply the KISS method. Keep it simple, stupid. Going back to Hawaii, back to Utah State, then to Wisconsin, obviously to LSU, where he had much better players and was able to do a little bit more. The question is going to be, is navigating the personnel with Baylor in comparison to what he had at LSU, and then even more so going back to understanding how he coached the personnel at Wisconsin, where maybe it wasn't to the elite level that an LSU is. So I still think that you're gonna find an approach. I mentioned about Kevin Steele, about tackling and limiting explosive plays. We all know with the Big 12, it's a very difficult thing to do. It's easy to talk about. There's a reason why Clemson and Brent Venables went and visited this past offseason with Iowa State, because while they haven't had the best athletes, they've done the best job playing defense in that conference. And I think you're going to see a similar approach, multiple fronts, three-man fronts, four-man fronts, and then more than anything else, not probably as much man-to-man as you've seen from them at LSU, just because they may not have the personnel to match up and do that. So I think you'll see a little bit more of a mix-up in the back end, which would be more similar to what he was doing when he was in Wisconsin.
Luganville, look, I get being in South Beach at 21 could be a lot of fun, but what is De'Aaron King doing going to Manny Diaz and Rhett Lashley in Miami?
Oh, boy. Well, first and foremost, why didn't De'Aaron King just come out and say this is what he was going to do? Everybody knew this was what he was going to do, and I think it made him look really bad. I think the whole entire situation reeked. I also think the kid is an exceptional talent, and in my opinion, I think one of the reasons is because of Rhett Lashley and the approach, that offense, and what it brings when you have a dynamic runner. I think we've all known, and you've heard me talk about it with you guys, whether it was a true Gus Malzahn-oriented team or now some of the tweaks that Rhett Lashley has made, the quarterback's going to be a focal part of the run game. So I think he sees a nice fit. He knows that they're going to be able to throw the ball because they've got weapons. My issue with Miami isn't De'Aaron King. My issue with Miami is, do those kids even love playing football? I mean, I don't know if I've ever seen as talented of a roster as they have in terms of just pure athletes, but as many poor football players as they have, and that's really disheartening, because that tells you something about their kids and their locker room. That's more than just coaching and, you know, X's and O's.
He is ESPN's Tom Luganville. Follow him on Twitter at Tom Luganville. And he joins us each week courtesy of our friends at Craneworks.
Yes, for all your rental and crane and rigging and machinery moving needs, you got to call Craneworks. You got to get to rental work. It's craneworks.com. The big dog's got it. If he doesn't, you don't need it.
That's right. Lukes, thanks. Have a great week.
Take care, guys.
All right, take care. Tom Luganville with us on the Bud Light Seltzer Hotline. They're at your favorite retailer now. Three flavors, strawberry, mango, black cherry, only 100 calories, 2 carbs, and gluten-free.